Now, chapter 17, Jesus begins to pray. And this must have been an interesting occasion for the disciples. They'd heard him pray before, and they had asked him to teach them to pray. But in verse 1, the scripture records, these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And they've kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine. And I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Considering the words of the Lord Jesus in his prayer to the Father in this chapter, I want you to notice with me some words that define the alien connection that we are talking about. What is our relationship to the world? I might ask you this, I might pose the subject to you in this way. What in the world are we? But I would emphasize the wording this way. What in the world are we? Or I might say it this way, what in the world are you? Or I might say it in the terms of the world, what in the world is a Christian? So let's look at that. Number one, the first word I want you to see is separation. The word that defines our relationship to the world and describes our alien connection is the word separation. You'll notice in verse number 6 that Jesus said, I have manifested thy name unto the men, watch, which thou gavest me out of the world. The words out of the world indicate a separation from the world. Look at verse number 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world. So, you've given them to me out of the world, therefore they're not of the world. That's separation. Verse 16, again, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. There is a difference. There are two worlds. There is the world that we cannot see and the world that we can see. And Jesus came from the world that we cannot see and was going back to that world. And he was praying for us and recognizing that his disciples, being in the world, were not any longer of the world. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, we read that the whole world lieth in wickedness. But we no longer are in that position. By the death of the Lord Jesus, by his intervention and his sacrifice, we have been brought back into harmony with God. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. But there is definitely a separation of the world. In John chapter 8, you can turn back if you want. I'm going to refer to several scriptures. But in John chapter 8, Jesus made this statement as he was speaking. In John chapter number 8 and verse number 23, he's speaking to the Jews. He said unto them, you are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. So Jesus clearly taught in his earthly ministry that he was not of the world. He was clearly in the world, but he was not of the world. And he says in his prayer to the Father, you gave me these men out of the world, and as I am not of the world, they are no longer of the world. In John chapter 15, in the chapter just preceding his prayer, or two chapters preceding his prayer, in verse number 19, Jesus says to his disciples, if you were of the world, the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world. So there's clearly a separation. You are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. I've chosen you out of the world. The Father gave you to me out of the world, and I am not of the world, and you are not of the world. That's the clear teaching of Scripture. Galatians 1 and verse 4. The scripture says, who gave himself for our sins, speaking of Christ, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Remember, the whole world lies in the lap of wickedness. And we have been, Christ's coming was for our deliverance from this evil world according to the will of God and our Father. There are three things that the scripture says are true in terms of defining our separation from the world. Number one, the scripture commands us to love not the world. Love not the world. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Why? Because you're no longer of the world. He has chosen us out of the world and chosen us and redeemed us unto himself. We're not to love the world. Now, if you go on in 1 John chapter 2, he defines what the world is. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are not of the Father. Those are the things, or the elements, or the characteristics, or the principles of the world. And beloved, we are not supposed to love the world. Now, clearly, the world here is speaking of the world system, the world's way of living, the world's theology, the world's perspective. God would not command you not to love the world that He loved. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him. So as far as men, and what is the great commandment of the law? The great commandment is what? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and thou shalt, number two, love thy neighbor as thyself. When He says love not the world, neither things that are in the world, He then defines the things. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So we're talking about basically covetousness, unrestrained appetite or desire, and pride. And those are the things that characterize the world. If you remember the illustration this morning, if you weren't here this morning, this represented Adam, and all men are found in Adam, and then in his family tree, we have sin flowing in our veins, a sin nature, and we're under condemnation. But when we get saved, we are separated from that, and we are placed in Christ, and the nature and very being of Christ, we participate in Him. And we're no longer to love what the world loves. The characteristics of this tree, the characteristics of this family, are they're all about getting things. All about satisfying their desires, getting pleasure in life, and all about self and promoting self and self-interest, and it's all about me. But that's no longer true of us. So we are to love not the world. Secondly, our separation from the world is given in Romans 12 and verse 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, verse 1, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now watch, and be not conformed to the world. Our position in the world is one of separation. We are aliens here. We are strangers here. The things that characterize the world, we're not to love those things anymore, and we're not to conform ourselves to the world. The word conform is a word which simply means be pressed into the mold. Take on the appearance or likeness. There ought not to be the likeness of the world in the believer. So we're to love not the world. We're not to be conformed to the world. And then thirdly, Colossians chapter 2 says, beware lest you be spoiled by the philosophy of the world. As you've received the Lord Jesus Christ, walk in Him. And beware lest you be spoiled by the traditions of men after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. So I'm saying to you simply this, beloved, we need tonight afresh and anew to recognize that while we are in the world, we are no longer of the world. A separation has taken place through the new birth. We have been placed in Christ. And now, like Him, though we are in the world, we are no longer of the world, therefore we don't love it, we do not conform to it, and we are careful not to be spoiled, ruined by, affected by the philosophy of the world. That's first and foremost. Number two, the second word that I find in John chapter 17 in the prayer of the Lord that defines who we are in this world is sojourner. We are sojourners. We are separate from the world, but we are sojourners here. Look with me at verse number 11. Jesus said, and now I am no more in the world. Now understand that He was in the world at that moment, but He's been telling them for three chapters now that the hour has come for Him to leave. And in His prayer, He said, Lord, I'm coming back. I'm coming home. Father, I've done what You sent me to do, and my hour's come. I'm coming back to You. Glorify me with the glory I had beforehand. So He said, I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. So clearly in his prayer, he talks about the fact that a believer is separate from the world. He is not of the world. He's been taken out of the world by the Father, but he remains in the world. Not only verse number 11, but look at verse 12. While I was with them in the world. So they were in the world, and the Lord Jesus was with them in the world. He was not of the world, but he was in the world. I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me have I kept, and none of them is lost. Look at verse number 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. So they're going to remain in the world. It is God's purpose and plan that we be in the world. We're not to be of the world. We're not to love it nor conform ourselves to it. And beware lest we be spoiled by its philosophy, but we are to be in the world. Look at verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so also have I sent them into the world. So we are in the world and we've been sent into the world. Let me go back to chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse number 46. I am come a light into the world. So remember, we just read, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Going back to chapter 12 and verse 46, I am come a light into the world. He was sent into the world by the Father to be a light, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. The world lies in darkness. The world is alienated from the life of God. So the Lord Jesus, who was not of the world, came into the world so that the light of God and who God is, the revelation of truth, could shine in the darkness. In John chapter 3, Jesus said, the light shined in darkness, or in John chapter 1, the scripture says, the light shined in darkness and the darkness comprehended it not. And then in John chapter 3, he said, the men of the world have not received me because I have shined a light on them, and men are lovers of darkness because their deeds are evil. Remember that? So the point is that our relationship to the world is one of sojourning. We are in the world. We've been sent into the world for the purpose that Jesus was sent, to shine as lights. Matthew 5:14. Ye are the light of the world. That was Jesus' words to his disciples. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 15. Philippians 2:15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, watch, among whom you shine as lights in the world. What are we in the world? We're not of the world, but we are in the world. What are we in the world? We're lights. We're to shine. We're to give forth the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's think of it this way. I and you as believers are no longer in the world as a branch in the tree or as a branch in the vine. We are now branches in that vine, in Christ. He's the vine, we're the branches. So we're in the world no longer as a branch in the vine, but as a light or lamp in the darkness. So we're not of the world, but we're in the world for the purpose of dispelling the darkness. We are not in the world as a member in the body, but we are now members of His body. The church is the body of Christ, and we are members in particular. So we're not in the world as a member in the body anymore, but as rather a physician in the hospital. We are among men who need help, who need healing, who need hope. And that's why we're here. That's the reason. That's our relationship with this world. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We referred to Hebrews 11 this morning, looking at how The scripture says that men and women of faith turned to flight the armies of the aliens, the strangers. But in Hebrews 11 verse 9, speaking of Abraham, by faith he sojourned. Now the word sojourned isn't in John chapter 17, but he said you are in the world and you've been sent into the world. And so that means we're sojourners. We dwell in the world. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. So God said to Abraham one day, I want you to get up out of your father's house and out of your father's country and go to a place that I'm going to show you. And so he did. He sojourned in the land of promise. Watch, as in a strange country. He went to the place that later would be known as the Promised Land, the land of Canaan, and it was strange to him. He was a foreigner there. It wasn't a place that he was used to, but he sojourned there by faith, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I like to say again that he had a faraway look in his eye. He had that far off look. He's looking for something else. He is dwelling there as a sojourner, but he's looking for something else. Look at verse 13. Speaking of all that have gone before in the chapter, examples of faith, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed. What did they confess? That they were strangers, aliens, and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, verse number 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the what? Strangers. The strangers. He's talking about the aliens, the pilgrims, those heavenly citizens who were scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. He calls them strangers. Then in chapter 2, as he goes on to write his letter in verse number 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust. Wait a minute. We're not to love the world, right? We're not of the world anymore. And we're not to love the world or can be conformed to the world. What's the world all about? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. I'm pleading with you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. They war against you. You put yourself in a battle, in a conflict. Having your conversation, your manner of living, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold. Why are we in the world? To be a light? And they will then glorify God in the day of visitation. Look at verse 19. For this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Verse number 21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ, that's who we're in, who is of another world, not of this world, also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. Can I take a moment and read to you? I hope you'll find this interesting. I certainly did. How the Christians of the first century saw themselves, or how others who observed them saw them. We're talking about what are we in this world. We're making this connection, this alien connection. Here is Justin Martyr, an early philosopher, writing to a Roman emperor, Antoninus Pius, around the year AD 150. His purpose in writing was to defend the Christians. Are you awake? Are you with me? In the excerpt below, we see how the believers were eager to invite the most intense scrutiny of their lives. At the same time, note how he reminds the most powerful man in the world that he may not really be as much in charge as he thinks. Here it is. And the rest that I'm reading is his letter, a part of his letter to the Roman emperor. He says to the emperor, "Since you are called pious and philosopher, guardian of justice and lover of learning, pay attention and listen to my address. If you are indeed follower of learning, it will be clear. We have not come to flatter you by this writing, nor please you by our address, but to beg that you pass judgment after an accurate and searching investigation. As for us, no evil can be done to us unless we are convicted as evildoers or proved to be wicked men. You can kill us, but you cannot hurt us. To avoid anyone thinking that this is an unreasonable and reckless declaration, we demand that the charges against the Christians be investigated. If these are substantiated, we should be justly punished. But if no one can convict us of anything, true reason forbids you to wrong blameless men because of evil rumor. If you did so, you would be harming yourself in governing affairs by emotion rather than by intelligence. It is our task, therefore, to provide to all an opportunity of inspecting our life and teaching. It is your business, when you hear us, to be good judges, as reason demands. If, when you have learned the truth, you do not do what is just, you will be without excuse before God." You know what they were saying? They're saying, "We're in the world to be a light. Go ahead and take a look. It's okay. We're not afraid of examination." Here's another gem. This is the epistles to Diognetus, D-I-O-G-N-E-T-E-S, A.D. 130. This is the only copy of this that has survived the centuries. No one knows who wrote it. It's from the second century, like the New Testament, originally written in Greek. In this brief excerpt, we have preserved a magnificent description of Christian living in what was expected in the early church community. "For the Christians," here's what they wrote, "for the Christians are distinguished from other men, neither by country, nor language, nor the customs which they observe. For they neither inhabit cities of their own, nor employ a peculiar form of speech, nor lead a life which is marked out by any singularity. The course of conduct which they follow has not been devised by any speculation or deliberation of inquisitive men, nor do they, like some, proclaim themselves the advocates of any merely human doctrines. But inhabiting Greek as well as barbarian cities, according as the lot of each of them has determined, and following the customs of the natives in respect to clothing, food, and the rest of their ordinary conduct, they display to us their wonderful and confessedly striking method of life. They dwell in their own countries, but simply as sojourners. As citizens, they share in all things with others, and yet endure all things as if they were foreigners. Every foreign land is to them as their native country, and every land of their birth as a land of strangers. They marry, as do all others. They beget children, but they do not destroy their offspring. They have a common table, but not a common bed. They are in the flesh, but they do not live after the flesh. They pass their days on earth, but they are citizens of heaven. They obey the prescribed laws and at the same time surpass the laws by their lives. They love all men and are persecuted by all. They are unknown and condemned. They are put to death and restored to life. They are poor, yet make many rich. They are in lack of all things, and yet abound in all. They are dishonored, and yet in their very dishonor are glorified. They are evil spoken of, and yet are justified. They are reviled, and they bless. They are insulted, and repay the insult with honor. They do good, yet are punished as evildoers. When punished, they rejoice, as if quickened into life. They are assailed by the Jews as foreigners, and are persecuted by the Greeks. Yet those who hate them are unable to assign any reason for their hatred. To sum it all up in one word, what the soul is to the body, that are Christians in the world. What a defense. What a description of the people of God. What they're saying is they're otherworldly. They're here, but they're not from here. And nothing here holds their interest or attention. And if it's their own homeland, it's as if it's a foreign land. And every foreign land is as if a homeland. They're happy to go there for the cause of Christ. Why? Because the truth is, what Jesus said in John 17 is true. They're in the world as lights to reveal God, to share the truth of Jesus Christ. Church, what is our relationship to the world? What in the world are we? What in the world is a Christian? Well, he is one who is separate from the world. He's not in love with the world. He's not conforming to the world. And he's being cautious that he does not get changed by or influenced by the philosophy of the world. He is in the world as one sent, as we sang tonight. I'm a stranger here in a foreign land. I'm on business for my king. I'm an ambassador. And I bid you be reconciled to God. Now, for time's sake, we'll stop there tonight. I will tell you that there are three more words. Number one, opposition. Number two, witness. And number three, overcomer, that describe our relationship to the world as we think about the alien connection. But we'll save those for another evening. For time's sake, let's pray.